The following is a lecture given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on October 7th, 1968, in Seattle.
Govindam Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Govindam Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami.
So, we are worshipping Govindam, the reservoir of all pleasures, Govinda, Krishna, and He is Adipurusham, the original person. So, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Bhajami means I worship, I surrender unto Him, and I agree to love Him. These are the terms offered by hymns by Brahma. The Brahma Sangita is considerably a large book. The first verse in the fifth chapter, it is said that the Lord Govinda, He has got His particular planet, which is known as Goloka Vrindavan. It is beyond this material sky. This material sky you can see as far as your vision go. But beyond that material sky, there is spiritual sky. This material sky is covered by material energy, mahatattva, and there are seven layers of covering of earth, water, fire, air, and beyond that covering there is an ocean, and beyond that ocean the spiritual sky begins. And in that spiritual sky the highest planet is called Goloka Vrindavan. These things are described in the Vedic literature, in the Bhagavad Gita also. Bhagavad Gita is very well-known book. There also it is stated, Najatra Bhasati Surja Na Sasanka Na Pava Yadgatyana Nivartanti Tadhyamam Paramam Mama. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that there is another spiritual sky where there is no need of sunshine. Najatra bhasate surya. Surya means sun. And bhasate means distributing the sunshine. So there is no need of sunshine. Najatra bhasati surja na sasanka. Sasanka means moon. Neither there is need of moonlight. Na sasanka na pavaka. Neither there is need of electricity. That means the kingdom of light. Here, this material world is kingdom of darkness. That you know, everyone. It is actually darkness. As soon as there is sun on the other side of this earth, it is darkness. That means by nature it is dark. Simply by sunshine, moonshine and electricity, we are keeping it light. Actually it is dark. And darkness means ignorance also. Just like at night, people are more ignorant. We are ignorant, but at night we are more ignorant. So, Vedic instruction is tamasi ma jyotir gama. The Vedas say, don't remain in this darkness. Just transfer yourself to the kingdom of light. And the Bhagavad Gita also says that there is a special sky or spiritual sky where there is no need of sunshine, there is no need of moonlight, there is no need of electricity, and jadgatyana nivartante, and if anyone goes to that kingdom of life, he never comes back again to this kingdom of darkness. So how we can transfer into that kingdom of light? The whole human civilization is based on these principles. The Vedanta says, atha to brahma jignasa. Atha, ataha. Therefore, you should now inquire about Brahma, the Absolute. Therefore, now means every word is significant. Therefore means because you have got this human body. Therefore. And ataha means hereafter. Hereafter means you have passed through many, many lives. 8,400,000 species of life. Aquatics, 900,000. Jalajanamalakhani sthavara lakhavinshati. This is the Darwin has taken the idea of evolution from this Padma Purana. You won't find any philosophy, any doctrine in the world which is not found in the Vedic literature. It is so perfect. Everything is there. So, the anthropomorphism, what is called? Anthropology. Anthropology of Darwin is there in the Padma Purana. It is very nicely described. Darwin cannot explain what are the number of the species different, but Padma Purana states that there are 900,000 species of life within water, within the ocean. And above the ocean, as soon as the ocean water is dried up, the land is coming out, immediately the vegetation begins. Different types of plants and trees then come out. So, jalajana balakhani sthavara lakhavinsati. 2,000,000 lakhavinsati. 20,000. That is 2,000,000. Anyway. Sthavara lakhavinsati. Sthavara means those who cannot move. There are different types of living entities. The trees, the plants, they cannot move. The other type of living entities, just like the birds, the bees, the human being, they can move. So sthavara and jangama. Jangama means those who can move. And sthavara means those who cannot move. The hills, the mountains, they are also amongst the sthavaras. They are also living entities. There are many hills that are growing. That means there is life. But in the lowest stage of storm. So, in this way, we are making progress. Thavara lakhamishati. Krimayo rudra sankhata. Reptiles and worms. Rudra sankhata means 1,100,000. Then, from reptiles, worms, the wings grow, birds, from wings growing, then it comes to the bird's life. Pakshina dasalakhan, 1,000,000 of birds. And then, whatever things are coming, four-legged animals, they are 300,000. So, 9 and 20. 29, then 11. 40, and then birds 10, 50, beasts 30, 80,000, and then 8 millions and 400,000 species of human life. Human life is not in large quantity. Out of that, mostly they are uncivilized. And very few Aryan family. The Aryan family, the Indo-European family, they are also Aryan. They are very few. The Europeans, they belong to the Indo-European group. The Americans, they also come from Europe. So, this group of human society is very few. There are rather many uncivilized groups. Therefore, Vedanta says, atha, atha, now you have got developed human form of life, civilized life, you have got nice arrangement for your comfortable life, especially in America, you have got all material comforts, you have got cars, you have got good road, nice food, nice building, nice dress, nice feature of your body, everything God has given you, very nice. Vedanta advises, now we'll take to about the inquiry of Brahma. Adhata Brahma Jikkas. This is applicable for everyone, civilized men. I don't speak of the Americans. In Europe, in Asia, anywhere, Aryans means those who are advanced. Non-Aryans means those who are not advanced. This is the Sanskrit meaning. Arya. And Sudras. Aryans are divided into four castes. The most intelligent class is called Brahmin. And the less than the Brahmins means those who are administrators, politicians, they are Kshatriyas. And next to them, the mercantile class, traders, merchants, industrialists, less than the administrative class. And less than that, the Shudras. Shudras means worker, laborer. So this system is not new, it is everywhere. Wherever there is human society, these four classes of men are there. Sometimes I am questioning why there is caste system in India. Well, this caste system is there, it is by nature. Bhagavad Gita says, Chaturvarna Maya system gunatanma vibhagasa. The four classes of men are there. That is my law. How they are four classes? Gunakarma vibhagasa. Guna means quality. And karma means work. If you have got very nice quality, intelligence, Brahminical qualities. Brahminical qualities means if you speak truth, you are very clean and you are self-controlled, your mind is in equilibrium, you are tolerant, and so many qualities. You believe in God, you know scriptures practically, these qualities are for the higher class, Brahmin. The first quality of Brahman, first qualification of a Brahmin is that he is truthful. He'll disclose everything even to his enemy. He'll never, hide anything.
Satyam,
shaucham, very clean. A Brahmin is expected to take bath daily thrice. And chant Hare Krishna. Vajja Bhantaram, clean outside, clean inside. These are qualities. So, when these opportunities are there, then the Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta advices, now you begin to inquire about Brahma. Athata Brahma Jigyasa. Athata Brahma Jigyasa. When one has reached to the material perfection, then the next business is to inquire. If you do not inquire, if you do not try to understand what is Brahma, then we must be frustrated. Because the hankering is there. Advancement. Advancement of knowledge. The theory of advancement of knowledge is that nobody should be satisfied by the knowledge what he already knows. He must know more and more. So, in your country, in comparison to the other country at the present age, you have advanced materially, very nicely. Now you take to this Brahma Jigyasa, inquiry about the Supreme Absolute. What is that Absolute? What I am also Brahma. Because I am part and parcel of Brahma, therefore I am also Brahma. Just like part and parcel, a little particle of gold is also gold. It is no other thing. Similarly, we are also particle of Brahma, or the Supreme. Just like the molecules of sunshine, they are also as illuminating as the sun glow, but they are very small. Similarly, we living entities, we are also the same as God, but He is just like as big as the sun glow or the deity in the sun glow, but we are small particles, the molecules of sunshine. This is the comparison between the Supreme and us. We cannot become the Supreme, at least we don't find in authorized Vedic literature that a living entity can become as powerful as God. No, it is not possible. God is great. He is always great. Even if you are liberated from the material classes, still He is great. That is. Therefore, these verses, Govindam Adipurusam Tamaham Bhajam. Our perpetual relationship with God is to worship Him or to serve Him. That service is very pleasant. Don't take it as soon as we talk of service, we may think that, we are suffering here by adopting service. Just like the next, the other evening one boy was questioning, why should we bow down? I do not know if he is present here. Bow down to surrender to somebody is not bad. But because we are in a different situation, by surrendering to other, it is very uncomfortable. That's why nobody wants to be dependent on other nation, nobody wants to be dependent on other people, everyone wants to be independent, because this material world is perhaps a reflection of the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, the more you surrender, the more you are serving, you are happy. You are happy. But we have no such understanding at the present moment. You have no spiritual idea, no spiritual realization. Therefore we shudder as soon as we hear that we have to become servant of God. There is no question of suffering. It is very pleasant to become servant of God. You see, so many great reformers, they came and they served the mission of God and they are still worshipped. So to become servant of God, servitor of God, is not very insignificant thing. It is the most important thing. Govinda mari purusam tamaham. But don't accept it. First of all, try to understand. Therefore, Vedanta Sutra says, athāta brahma jigyāsa. Try to understand what is brahma.
Why this sound?
Try to understand what is Brahma. And try to understand your relationship. And then, when you actually surrender, you will feel your eternal blissful life, full of knowledge. And this is very nicely explained in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the same teaching is there, but we have got two books already published. One Bhagavad Gita as it is, another book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So, Bhagavad Gita teaches surrendering process. Sarva dharmān parityajya māmekam saraṇam bhaja. You surrender unto me, the Lord says. And the Lord teachings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is how to make surrender. Because we have been accustomed in our present conditional life to revolt against surrender. There are so many parties, so many isms. The main principle is that why shall I surrender? That is the main disease. Whatever political party is there, just like the Communist Party, their revolt is against the superior authority they call capitalist. Now, why shall I? Everywhere, the same thing is, why shall I surrender? But we have to surrender. That is our constitutional position. If I don't surrender to some particular person or particular government or particular community or society or something, but ultimately I am surrendered to the laws of nature. There is no independence. I have to surrender when there is call of the cruel hands of death. Immediately I have to surrender. So many things. So we should understand this is Brahma Jigyasa. Why there is this surrendering process? If I don't like to surrender, then I am forced to surrender. In this state also, if I don't mean to abide by the laws of the state obliges me to surrender. By police force, by military force, by something. Similarly, I don't want to be to die, but death forces me to surrender. I don't want to become old man, but nature forces me to become old. I don't want any disease, but nature forces me to accept some sort of disease. So this surrendering process is there. Now we have to understand why this is so. That means my constitutional position is to surrender. But the present difficulty is that I am surrendering to a wrong person. When he understands that I should surrender to the Supreme Lord, then my constitutional position is revived. That is my liberty. I do not know that my position is to surrender. And that surrendering principle is my life, is my happy life. Just like a small child, if he surrenders to the wishes of the parents, his life is very pleasing, very happy. A young girl, if she surrenders to the wishes of the parents, and that is the system, Vedic system. A woman, by nature, is dependent. Artificially, if woman wants liberty, then his life is unhappy. Her life is unhappy. Therefore, Vedic system is, I am not manufacturing, I am speaking uprightly on the Vedic principle. The Manu Samhita, the law of Vedas, Manu, the master of the humankind, Manu. Manu is the father of the mankind. So he has got his law book. That Manu Samhita law book is still followed in India so far as the Hindus are concerned. So in that book, Manu Samhita, it is stated, Nasriyang satantata marhati. He gives the law that woman should not be given independence. Then, what should be the life? The life should be, so long she is not married, she must live under the guidance dependent on the parents. And as soon as she is married, she should live dependent on her husband. And when the husband is gone out, because according to Hindu system, the husband does not remain at home for all the days till death, no. When children are grown up, he gives up wife and children and becomes a sannyasi, just like I have become. I have my children, I have my grandsons, I have my why he is still, but I have given up all connection. So, how my wife is being maintained? Oh, she has got grown up children. So there is no anxiety. So dependence is not bad. If there is dependence on the proper place, no father neglects to look after the comforts of her unmarried girl, of his unmarried girls and boys. According to Hindu system, a father-mother responsibility ceases after he gets the children married, either daughter or son. So much obligation. Then they are free. So, I am speaking on the dependence. Dependence is not bad. Surrender is not bad. I have seen practically that woman surrendering to the husband. Still there are so many women in India. They are so happy and their life is so glorious. So we have to learn how things have to be done. Independence, artificial independence is no good always. Practically, we have no independence. I may think of independence, but practically I have no independence. I am servant of my senses. Kamadinan kuti dhana kuti dhapalita dunnidesa. We are all serving the senses. So where is my independence? I may declare independence from my father, from my state, from my country, from my community, but I am servant of my senses. So where is my independence? So we should know our constitutional position that in all circumstances we are dependent. Therefore, the best method of my perfection of life is to become dependent on God, Krishna. That is the solution of all problems. And Krishna consciousness movement is that. Try to understand your constitutional position and be surrendered to God, to Krishna. Then you'll be happy. Very simple thing. The moment you surrender unto God, immediately you become happy. Māmi vaja prapadyanti māyāmi tāṁ taranti. So, our this Krishna consciousness movement is not very difficult either to understand or to execute. Simply, we shall be willing to do that. That willing is in your hand. If you like, you can accept it, because you have got little independence to accept something or reject something. That independence you have got. Oh. And by rejecting something good, we are in distress, and accepting something good, we are happy. So this acceptance and rejection is in your hand. So here is the offering, Krishna consciousness, by great authorities, by Lord Krishna, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we are humble servants only. We are simply distributing. We have not manufactured a new type of religious sect or method of philosophy. No. It is very, very old system, Krishna consciousness. Simply, we are trying to distribute in a process which can be accepted by the people in general. So, our request to you all who are present here or who are not present here, that you try to understand this Krishna consciousness movement. And if you do not understand immediately, if you kindly associate with us, put your questions, try to understand it. Don't say that you blindly accept it. Put your questions, try to understand, read our literature, and you will understand. There is no doubt about it, and you will take to it. And if you take to it, you will be happy. In other processes, just like a political creed, unless it is nationally accepted, just like there are so many political parties in every country, everyone is trying to bring in the forefront the party politics, because the leader cannot be successful unless the whole country accepts his philosophy, his party. But Krishna consciousness is so nice that it does not require that a community or a nation or a family or any group has to accept, then you will be happy. No. Individual. If you accept, if your family does not accept, if your community does not accept, if your country does not accept, it doesn't matter. You will be happy. But if your family accepts, if your community accepts, your nation, you will be more happy. So, because it is absolute, independent, so any person takes to Krishna consciousness, will be happy immediately. We invite you. We have got classes, we have got different branches in different cities, we have got books, we have got magazines, and we try to convince you by your morning and evening classes. My humble request to you all, that you try to understand. Chaitanya dayar katha karo vichar. We put you for your judgment to understand. We put this Krishna consciousness before you for your judgment. And if you scrutinizingly see and try to understand, then you feel, it is so sublime, it is so nice. And that is our request. Thank you. You have got any question? If you have got any question.
How do we explain to impersonalists inductively the existence of the personality of Godhead?
This example I have given you several times, just like you try to understand this sun. This is Delhi affair. Now, when you try to understand what is this sun, you first of all come to the sun sign, light. If you are covered with cloud and if you have not known what is sun, that is a different thing. Or even if it is covered, you can go up to the over the cloud and see the sun sign and sun. So the cloud is compared with Maya. So, sun is compared with the kingdom of God, and the president of the sun planet is God. This is example. God is far away and he is the greatest. He has created so many millions of suns. But I am giving that example. Now, to study the sun, first of all, you come to the sun sign. The sun sign is distributed all over the universe. And the sun planet is situated in a localized place. And within the sun planet, there is the predominating deity who is called sun god. Now, if you want to study all these things, first of all, you come to the sun sign. The sun sign is impersonal. Similarly, there is a transcendental rays from the planet where Krishna or God is there. Just a few minutes before I recited one verse from Bhagavad Gita Najatra bhasayate surya. That means it is illuminating. There is no need of sunshine. Just like this planet is not illuminating. Therefore, we want light from the sun, from the moon, from electricity. But Bhagavad Gita says that the planet of the Lord, there is no planet, white planet, the sky, there is no need of sunshine. Every planet in the spiritual world is illuminating. So, because every planet is illuminating, the whole spiritual sky is dazzling illumination. So one who approaches that dazzling illumination called Brahma Jyoti, they are called impersonalists. Is it clear?
How does one show up that in such an impersonalist with absolute proof? Logically, I was told Bhaktivinoda has in such a proof.
Apart from Bhakti, you try to understand in a common sense. Yeah.
I can see that.
There, just like sun planet, there is sun sign. This sun sign is impersonal. But if you have got power to enter into the sun globe, then you will find there are so many persons. They have got fiery body. It is not a fact that in other planets there is no life. That is a nonsense. Every planet there is life, but they have got different situation, different atmosphere. The moon planet is very cold. Even the modern scientists, they agree that the temperature in the moon planet is below 200 degree zero. It is very cold. Similarly, sun planet is very hot. Similarly, there are other planets which is made of air, some planets made of water. These five elements, earth, water, planet, and air, ether, These are the ingredients of material world. So some planet is made of something, some planet is made of something, but this earth is made of earth only, and water. In the sun sign, you see, you go by aeroplane, go in the friendly sky above the, you see everything impersonal, simply glaring sunshine, that's all. But that does not mean it is impersonal. There are many planets within the sunshine, millions of planets, but you cannot see. Similarly, persons who cannot see beyond the Brahma Jyoti, the transcendental rays of the spiritual sky, they are impersonalists. They are impersonal. But one who goes to the transcendental planets, Vaikunthas, Golok Vrindavan, they see God is their planet, a person. As you are person, I am person, you will find person. So it is poor fund of knowledge only that this conclude that ultimate absolute truth is impersonal. No. Because Vedanta Sutra says, Janamadasa Jataha, the supreme absolute truth or Brahma is that from whom everything generates, everything is born. That everything is born, then you have got personality, I have got my personality, everyone has got personality. How you can think of him that he is not person? We have got experience that a father is person, therefore his son is also person. So if we are born of the Supreme Father, then if we are person, how he can be impersonal? It is simple, this. But his personality is different. Our personality is different. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha. His body is different, Sachidananda Vigraha. His power is different, his potency is different. Different means that is all spiritual. The difference of spirit and matter we can understand. That spirit is the basic principle of movement of matter. Because the spirit soul is within this body, therefore it is moving. Because the spirit soul is there within this body, therefore it is growing. So spirit soul is the basic principle of all material expansion. Similarly, God being full spirit, whole spirit, He is the basic principle of all cosmic manifestation. But He is Purusha. These things are there in the Bhagavad Gita I will read. Arjuna says that it is very difficult to understand your personality. People are bewildered, but He is Purusha. And in the Katha Upanishad and many other Upanishads, it is said, Nitya Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. He is the chief eternal amongst all eternal. That means we, living entities, we are also eternal. But He is the chief eternal. So if we are persons, then He is also person. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says that myself, yourself, my dear Arjuna, and all these kings and soldiers who have come here, assembled here, they are all persons. They are all persons in the past. They are persons at present, and they will continue as persons in the future. These things are there. So individual soul or God, every one of us is person, each and every one of us. Imperson is another feature of the person. Just as you say, example, just in sun planet, there is person, the predominant deity, and his personal effulgence is the sun sign. The sun sign is imperson, but the planet is localized, and the predominant deity is person. The Bhagavad confirms it, Brahmeti, Paramatmaiti, Bhagavaniti, Sargate. The absolute truth is one. Just like the sun sign, and the deity within the sun, that is one unit. But some portion is called sun sign, some portion is called sun planet, some portion is called the deity. Similarly, the Supreme Brahma is one. His person, his localized position, and his influence and energy, they are one. This is the Shuddhadvaitava, pure monism. The Shankaracharya's philosophy is monism, one. And Sri Ramanujaja explains, yes, one unity in diversity. So, this is unity. The sun deity, the sun planet, and the sun sign is one unit. But still, there is diversity. The division of the sun sign is different from the sun planet. The sun planet is different from the predominating deity in the sun planet. If you try to understand this way, then you will understand what is Paramatma, the super soul, the individual soul, the impersonal Brahma, the personal Brahma, everything. Is that clear? Any other question? Yes?
Sir, can you explain Mahamaya and Yogamaya? Was Arjuna under Yogamaya or Mahamaya?
Arjuna, when he was thinking in terms of his personal sense gratification, he was under Mahamaya. And when he agreed to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he is under Yogamaya.
How is it Arjuna, who is eternally liberated?
Because he is living entity, he is marginal. There is chance of marginal means, I have explained several times, that the land between the ocean and the land, there is a portion of land, which is sometimes merged within water, sometimes it is land. So living entity's position is like that, marginal energy. He may be under the influence of Yogamaya, or he may be under the influence of Mahamaya. When he is under the influence of Mahamaya, that is his conditional life. And when he is under the influence of Yogamaya, he is free. Chant, Hare Krishna.